We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
Good morning and welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is fantastic to have you with us as we get set for Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football.
The Giants at the Niners. Matt Barrows on all the injuries and everything you need to know in about 25 minutes at 9:30. You'll also hear from John Gruden at around 9:40. Take me through Monday Night Football. What's it like getting to play on this stage? Is this the best possible scenario you can get all season?
Besides Super Bowl, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Monday night, Joe, it's something about it. You know, everyone played on Sunday. Thursday, you're beat up, you're sore. You don't necessarily want that game. But Monday, you want. Why? Because all the women and children, your friends across America, they get to watch you. You're the only one that's playing. And you come out there, you usually you break in your new shoes, you wear them the day before through walkthrough or one practice, because usually Monday night, you want the new shoes. You want the fresh look. You want to make sure that everything is right. You're pretty in the face and slim in the waist. You absolutely live for Monday Night Football. It's one of the just every team looks for Monday night. And that's why you see teams get flexed out of Monday night, because they want winners and they want the network wants to see a great performance. So Monday is just something about it. You seem like you have a little bit more energy. You have a little bit more pep. The coach is talking about Monday night. Everyone's getting to watch, and you can't hide now. Don't be scared now. Just those little things that coaches do, poke you a little bit. Hey, don't Monday night, man. You're going to be nervous. Hopefully you don't.
A little extra pep in the step during the week?
Absolutely. A little extra pep in the step. And, you know, you're going to get those guys are jabbing you because they want to see you perform. Coach want to see what you got under the lights. Coaches want to perform well because they know other people are watching them. And it's a time that usually teams, other teams and players, they sit down on Monday and you watch. This is one of the only times as a player you watch games is usually on Monday and maybe Sunday night and you know, Thursdays. But the majority of players usually watch this game because Tuesday's your off day. So Monday is all your peers as well get to watch you play.
Do you sit there and do you get critical? Like as you're watching other guys play, when you were with the Chargers, if you saw the Patriots or the Steelers on TV, would the guys get together and watch the game?
Absolutely. Guys go to a local pub. Maybe at someone's house, kind of watch the Monday
really?
Night. Yeah.
You guys would go out to watch the game?
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, it's an off day, right? For the most part, after
absolutely.
A Sunday game?
Yes, Mondays sometimes, a lot of Mondays.
But don't people come up and bother you?
No, sometimes you get a back room, but you're sitting there with a couple of guys watching the game. Your Mondays is usually sometimes your Friday night on when you're playing, because Tuesday you can sleep it in. So you usually get a little bit of ya-ya, Joe. Get a little bit of that feel-good juice on Monday. So, yeah, you're feeling no pain Monday night. Tuesday you get to sleep at your off day. So, absolutely, guys get together and you do critique one another. You get, I mean, hell, you get guys even texting you during Monday night game.
Look at this hung tooth. Would you say things like that?
Yes. Totally.
Yeah,
look at 68. He couldn't block my grandma over there.
Yeah. You know, you do.
Who'd you go out and watch games with?
Hey, you know, me and T would watch games. I'd go to his house. We'd watch
games.
Who's
T?
LT.
LT.
Yeah.
So we've already abbreviated the name to LT. We can't even say the L anymore.
Because we finally collectively came to the realization that the LT is Lawrence Taylor. It's not the other guy who claimed to go by LT. So now we just shorten it to T.
Who else would you guys hang out with?
You know, we'd get a...
Old Phillip?
Oh, Phillip would come have a cup of Coors Light with you. Or just sometimes, believe it or not, you just... You
Merriman?
Oh, Sean, those guys, yeah. Those guys.
Tequila? Did you go hang out with them?
No, I did not.
Just curious.
No, and remember,
she was on the scene in the mid-aughts, the early 00s, the late 90s.
She was big. That was a big scenario with the Chargers.
We had, yeah. But we had.
Surprised you guys weren't just racking up the banners.
Joe, you remember, we brought Jim Everett on the show, and he said Monday night, me and him will drink Coors Light and watch the game together because Tuesday off day. So, I mean, I'd go to Jim's house. I mean, you just do stuff like that. It's cool. Go watch a game with guys.
I like to believe celebrities and athletes aren't exactly like me. And then it turns out they are, and it's
yes,
like,
they're exactly
why do
like,
I want to do this?
Okay, so why not go with the guys that you play with to a local bar, a local spot that you got that you know that it's your spot, the owner take care of you, it's kind of, you know.
Of course, because the millions of dollars aren't enough. You need free wings and quarters.
No,
is that what you're saying?
No, you pay for it. You tip them. You'd make sure it's taken care of. You got a little private
right.
room, and you invite who you want in. You get my drift, and just like, it's...
Nice. It's good to be the king, you know?
You ever serious about anything in your life?
Oh, enjoy
your whole
it.
Life just really just... America's guest.
Hey, you know what, Dibs? He gets hot. He gets hot about
it. I get jealous.
I know.
Just
he
too
gets
good.
So jelly.
No, you earned it. You worked really hard.
The thing about it, though, Joe, if you would have some kind of way found me in Diego, you would have been out. I brought friends.
You didn't want anything to do with it.
No, I'd love to.
I was. That's those were 3 years I really, really let the dog off the chain.
That's why we had a really great
your 3 years in San Diego?
Yeah, I've long maintained greatest 3 years of my life. I even said that in front of my wife. What about when we met? Sweet. But the 3 years of San Diego were the best.
That's the second best 3 year stretch, sweetheart.
You know, I would have loved to meet Joe because I would have had brought him in with all of our friends and he'd have been talking crazy. You would have been in heaven because I had a guy
Coach,
named Doug.
There was a Memorial Day weekend when I was living in South Mission Beach. The Beachcomber and the Pennant are right next to each other. I had tabs open at both just the whole weekend. I went back and looked at my charges. This was the Memorial Day weekend that should have killed me. And I went back and I looked at my charges on my bank account. There were like 19 charges from Friday through Monday.
Wow.
It was only from two bars. There was no food. There was no groceries or gas or any reasonable purchase. It was 19 straight charges from two separate bars over a 4-day stretch.
Staggering, I'm sure. So 2 hours here and then 2 hours at the other one and then back and forth.
How was I closing two tabs at the same place within 20 minutes of one another? I was there for like...
I got you.
Did you think about the expression, leave it open? Go ahead and leave it open, Jim. I'll be back.
Coach, I did. I was using multiple cards at multiple places. I had like three different cards open at two bars as I was just rolling up drinks all weekend.
That's why it's like if I'd have hooked up with you, I'd have hooked you up with Kasim. Then you wouldn't have to pay for it. The guys would have took care of you. You would have
Kasim, you said?
Yeah. You would have absolutely loved it. You would have been.
Should have gotten something out of showing up supporting that team.
Joe, we
season tickets.
We went 14-2, Joe. Come on.
Not that year.
I remember
apparently.
A flight back to San Diego watching the Jets beat you in the wild card round. I remember that. Everyone on the flight was coming home from, I think it was Christmas break, watching.
Joe, we had a bad day.
Yeah. I'd say. The Jets stunk.
They did.
That way, you guys were probably 10. I'm going to bring that up. What was the point spread of that game?
It was probably 6.
It was probably big is what it was.
What's
that
it
game
like
was a no-brainer.
When you're a big-time playoff favorite and then you just lay a collective egg for 60 minutes, what does that feel like?
Feels horrible. It really does, especially when you try to push the gas and then it's too late. The team, you let them stick around. You let them hang around. And then they hang it around.
Yeah. Why didn't you play harder?
It's good.
Could have eliminated all that just by showing up and playing hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of times, and that's tonight. Here's a Monday night game where everyone is saying the Niners are favorite. This is everyone saying that, okay, the Giants are giving up. Everyone's saying that their line's a sieve. Everyone's saying the offensive line of Giants are just horrible. So you got to realize, what is that telling you? How are you as Kyle Shanahan and this defense and the organization, how are you able to get your troops to say, are you going to buy into that hype? Those guys are going to come out and they think that everyone said that this offensive line, everyone said they can't protect Eli. All these guys are going to eat. They're looking to they're looking to pad their stats against you tonight. What are you going to do? Are you going to let this team come over here and push you around? This team is the San Francisco 49ers. How are we going to handle this? Are we going to let a Hall of Famer who won 2 Super Bowl, who may be on his out, play for some pride, play for Eli. Let's go and do something tonight. Here's a team, guys. We need to jump on them. They're still the San Francisco 49ers. You know what, guys? They got one more win than us. That's it. So they don't know how to win either. What are we going to do? This is a game that we need to find a way to win this game. Look for the Giants to come out aggressive too. They believe they can win.
You're
this.
Implying listen to that- this. 2003, 2004.
I was trying to keep him
12,
off.
The Chargers were 12-4. They were 13-1-2 against the spread.
Wow.
13-1-2 against the spread. You missed one cover. You went to the playoffs. 7-point favorites against
Kansas
the Jets.
Kansas City was that favorite.
Lost 20-17. You know who you didn't cover against? The Jets back in week 2. Boy, that team really had your number. Who
had
the
their
hell
number?
Was even on this Jets team? Let's go ahead and look this one up.
It's got to be a Vinny Testaverde days, no? The night.
Playoff game. You know who beat him? Chad Pennington. 23-33, 279 yards,
old
two
Chad.
Touchdowns, no interceptions. LT ran 26 times for 80 yards. Lowe got a carry. He got 3 yards.
Nice.
First
That's
down.
Not bad. Eric Parker first had a down. Carry for 0 yards.
Sure they didn't run a draw to you on 3rd and 14?
We should have killed them.
We're going to move past this.
We should.
How do the Niners avoid this tonight? How do they avoid this? What happened in this game?
You're so evil. At times, sometimes, just go right for the juggler, Joe, why don't you? You know what?
Chad Pennington.
This is where leadership has to step up to. Players, that's what Richard Sherman needs to say. Guys, No letdowns. Not tonight. Guys, this has been a disappointing year for all of us. We understand that. We didn't reach our goals. But, guys, tonight is the night we need to go out here and dominate. Guys, we need to let the Giants understand why they're 1-8. We need to let the Giants understand why they shouldn't compete with us. We need to send them back and say, not on our watch. We need to go ahead and exploit this offensive line, and we have to get after them, guys. We got to make sure that we don't give them hope. We can't let this team stick around. And that's why Kyle Shanahan's going to be very, this isn't going to be come out, oh, just titter-pack and run and try to do. Kyle Shanahan is going to go for the jugular early. They are going to try to motorboat this Giant team. They're not trying to let this team breathe and stick around. They're not going to pull the Lakers what the Lakers did last night against that team they played against. It was just horrible. So I think that you're going to look for a team that's going to try to come out, hit the foot on the pedal, and not let up.
How many opening drives have they gone right down the field and scored? I'm bringing it up in front of me. I don't have
amazing.
That. Against the Raiders, the opening drive, they went right down and scored, right, with Mullins?
Yes.
Week before, they had Arizona. I don't remember what happened there.
They didn't against the Rams either.
The Lions, some of these games, I don't even know. But you got to figure, there's nothing better than watching Shanahan's team on script. He makes them look so good. That's the key, is once you go down and score, if you score, how do you respond after? Mullins played fantastic against the Raiders, but, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better step up. This is like that slight step up with 11 days to get ready, and you're playing at home on Monday night, but you're not jumping from, say, the Raider game to the Saints at the Voodoo Dome on Monday night.
No.
Like, you're getting a nice step up here in terms of ability to flash, whether or not you have what it takes to be a capable backup in the NFL.
Yeah, since he goes down and he had such a high percentage of scoring on that opening drive, what you need to do is you need to duplicate and do it again and do it by different formations. If something has success, now move a guy and get to that end result if that's what you're having success with. Start repeating some of these plays on that opening drive, because the mindset of a guy, he understands, okay, ace right, 455, this is what I got to do on this play. So it's ingrained in these guys' head early in that drive, so they're knowing this is coming to me at practice. All these things have been rehearsed. So that's why so many teams have so much success on those opening drive, because it becomes a part of them. They understand that. So if you can get your guys to say, look, guys, we're going to repeat this. We're going to score on this first drive, and then we're going to repeat some of this stuff. We might move different motions. The second drive, if we score on it, this next one, we're going to you, because they're going to try to think we're doing there. It's going to look like that. But then so you have to speak life. You have to get guys to understand what you're trying to do in communicating. And that's what Kyle Shanahan does great, Dibs, is communicate with his guys and let them know what he expects from them.
It's actually a dream situation, I think, for Nick Mullins, as far as being able to come in and face the Raiders in your first game. And it was tight because it was a Thursday night game in a short week, but now you get a longer week of preparation. And like you said, Joe, just an incremental step up when you're facing a New York Giant defense. And the fact that Nick Mullins gets to do it again at home is a huge benefit. So I think when we look at expectations for Nick Mullins, it's okay to have greater expectations than you normally would for a quarterback making his second ever career start, because you're going up against another porous defense and you're doing it at home. I think 250 yards is the absolute low point of what you can expect from Mullins. I'm thinking 300 yards, multiple touchdowns.
Damn.
Like Lowe says, you come out and you try to motorboat this team early, because the Giants have showed you that they are willing to shut it down. This is not a team fighting tooth and nail for every single yard. This is a team already ready for the offseason.
And who's the guy to scare you? Saquon Barkley. So if you want to eliminate this guy, then friggin' make it one-dimensional. Jump on top of them, strangle them, kick them, get them while they're down, jump on them, go up by 14, take away the running game, and now you force Eli to have to drop back. And when you do that, them boys up front, they can eat, Joe. That's when you're Blair. That's when the guys that you've been talking about that they need to have big games, that's when these guys can eat and they can feast, because now you know it's 5, 6, 7 step drop. Now you know you're not, it's what make that team, the Giants, that is a one-dimensional team. So that's when you defensive lines are able to feast.
What's the headline tomorrow? What's the headline? If we come right out of the gate at 6 a.m. with the biggest and baddest story, what's it going to be? Local related, of course.
Mullins mauls the Giants. I think it's Nick Mullins again with another strong performance. He shows moxie, and they really put it on the New York Giants. Like Lowe says, you get to a couple touchdown lead early. Saquon Barkley is somewhat neutralized, and the 49ers roll.
What's more likely to be an MB? The Warriors at the Clippers tonight, or the Giants getting Embiid? Motorboat, as we know.
Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid.
I love it. Embiid motorboating.
Nice.
Joel Embiid.
Nice. That was nice. The Clippers.
You think the Clippers get Embiid?
Yeah.
Because in NBA, Embiiding is, what, 20 points, I think we said. If you lose by 20 in an NBA game, you got motorboated.
I don't know. If you get him by 15, that's a boating, yeah. Isn't it?
Especially if it's backdoor boating. If you're up by 25 and then the boat comes in and it's 15.
Clippers, I don't know if we ever actually established the parameters for what is and what is not an official motorboat.
Hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795.
Nice.
What is an appropriate parameter for a motorboating or an Embiiding?
Would anyone say the Bengals got MB'd yesterday?
Oh, no, they got MB. They got MB.
They got boated for sure.
Boated.
If you give
boated
up,
and
that's pathetic.
Boated.
If you give up a 50 burger in the NFL, unless you got 45 on your own, you got boated for sure. And that was boated. A full-on boating.
We should give out an MB of the Week award, and it should be sponsored by some boat. I mean, I'd imagine there's a dock around here.
But it's too bad.
A marina brought to you by the San Francisco Marina.
Maybe we could get the love boat theme in the background. The motorboat.
That should have been a sponsor a long time ago. Well, you know how much we use the motorboating? I mean, beeminy criminy.
It's really the only show in the world using that phrase in that way.
True.
I can't imagine there's another sports talk radio show that uses the term motorboating.
They're using it all wrong.
Yeah. They're just saying boat racing.
Exactly. Boat racing?
No.
Racing a boat?
No.
How you going to, it's a boat race? No. You got motorboated, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way,
exactly.
Most boat races are quite close, by the way. I don't know how much America's Cup you've watched,
but
a lot of times you lose by a singular boat length. That's not a very big blowout, you know?
The motorboating of the week brought to you by Sea-Doo. Get a wave runner. Summer's right around the corner.
Right?
Nice.
There it is.
Yeah, but don't actually buy a Sea-Doo because they're not giving us anything. So
no.
Just wait. We'll tell you where to go.
We will.
I think it's more likely that the Warriors boat the Clippers as we just shortened it down. Like, LT's now been shortened to T. I think it's much more likely that the Warriors boat them, but I think the Niners will put the boat on the Giants as well.
Just today.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I'm going to give this show a try. And you hear this? You think you're coming back?
Absolutely.
These idiots talking about.
Why wouldn't
you? We actually used an analogy earlier where Eli versus Drew Brees was prime rib versus a rat sandwich. There's actually a real analogy on this show.
It started with the veggie, and you guys forced me to go.
Didn't like the implication that the veggie sandwich
I just
was
didn't
the
understand
loser
it.
In the equation.
I didn't understand it, that's all. It wasn't about like or dislike.
It was just value. It was just the value of it, you know, compared to, you know,
sure.
A lot cheaper.
Yeah.
This veggie sandwich a lot cheaper than a steak or prime rib.
You'd be surprised the cost of sprouts going through the roof.
Vegetables are expensive. This is the great misnomer is that people who don't make a lot of money in this country, they go to places that aren't healthy because it's cheap. Unhealthy food is much cheaper than healthy food. It's expensive to put together a veggie sandwich.
Hmm.
So some could make the case that the veggie sandwich is the Drew Brees of the equation.
Yeah, I think that if you can get pretty much a veggie sandwich, any type of veggie sandwich, a gourmet veggie sandwich for $15. You're not getting, not a nice prime rib, the best, not at that price. So that's all. Just value. And the Super Bowl is the granddaddy of them all. Everyone wants that.
That would actually be the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Don't miss it. January 1st, right where you want to have it.
I guess Ohio State. Whatever in the Pac-12 at this point.
Yeah.
Shout it out. They're still playing football. Washington State, if they don't get in the playoff. But we're really, really... really off track.
You guys.
I'm going to throw this at you.
You guys.
Tonight, Richard Sherman versus Odell Beckham. Is that the key matchup? Sherman is grading out as the number one corner by Pro Football Focus. Hasn't given up a touchdown all year. Does Beckham beat Sherman for a touchdown in this game?
No, he doesn't. I don't even know if he gets a catch against Sherman. Sherman's been that locked down. Well, I think that they're going to put OBJ on the other side of the field as much as they can. And unless Saleh and Sherman do things differently, he won't follow Odell Beckham Jr. to the other side of the field. Personally, I would like to see him shadow him everywhere across the field, but from what you were saying earlier, that's not the way Richard Sherman normally plays. He normally takes a side, and whoever comes over there, he guards that player. I would much rather see him shadow Odell Beckham Jr. than have him, shut down Sterling Sharp or...
Shepard.
Shepard. I always say that. It's Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Sharp. Which was the better of the Sharp brothers, Sterling or Shannon?
I think Shannon. Shannon for his position, certainly.
Shannon, just longevity and everything that he had. It'd be interesting to see what happens tonight. I really believe that Odell won't have over 100 yards. He's going to be way under that. I think that he'll quit.
If you're Richard, are you in his ear early?
No question.
Because you know you can rattle this guy, right? Yeah, are you just talking nonstop?
Because you got to realize, if he's not involved, He's not one of those guys that's going to go and block. He's not going to go and cut you. Think about certain players that they just get mad and they go out and play even harder. Odell's not that guy. If they're bracketing him and he knows he ain't involved, he's going to shut it down. He's going to shut it down.
All right, what to expect from Richard Sherman versus Odell Beckham tonight with Matt Barrows next. He's got everything you need to get set for tonight's game. We'll be back with that here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
And down the stretch we come. You'll hear from John Gruden in about 9 minutes, but right now we go to the phones. He does a tremendous job covering the 49ers for The Athletic. Matt Barrows joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Matt. Monday Night Football, Giants at the Niners. Let's start with the obvious. What's going on with the injury report? Who is out for tonight's game?
Reuben Foster is out for the second straight game. Jaquaski Tartt, the strong safety, is out for the second straight game. And Pierre Garçon is out, and he had probably his best game the other night against the Raiders. So that's a bit of a surprise, that last one. So those are three starters who are out for this game, and I think that sort of gives the Giants a little bit more of a chance than they otherwise might have.
What does this mean for the passing attack, then? Are we going to see a lot more throws to Kittle and maybe Kyle Juszczyk, considering that Pierre Garçon won't be out there?
Yeah, it'll be Kendrick Bourne who takes over for Garçon. He's done a nice job, especially in the red zone. He hasn't really had a prolific wide receiver game, like, you know, from start to finish. And I think that they're looking for something like that from him if he is going to be the de facto Pierre Garçon next season, if he replaces Garçon on the team. But, yeah, I'd say Kittle gets a lot of play. Juszczyk gets a lot of play. And then, remember, Marquise Goodwin had that sensational game last year, same exact date, same exact week against the Giants. So you might expect him to have another big game as well.
Reuben Foster, injured, not going to be up. What is the severity of this? Is this a guy that just it seems as if he's injury prone, or what seems to be going on with Reuben?
Well, it's different. I mean, he's out for this game because of a hamstring, and I asked Kyle Shanahan whether now it's just the hamstring and not the shoulder, which had been problematic earlier in the season. He said, yeah, he's out because of the hamstring injury. So apparently the shoulder is not an issue right now, but as we've seen, it flares up, and it flares up just about every game that he plays. No one's quite sure what's going on with that. I'm not sure if the 49ers are as well. I mean, they don't think that it's a long-term issue. They don't think that it's an issue that requires surgery, but it's obviously something that hinders him in just about every game that he plays. So it'll be interesting to watch these last, let's say he plays in the last six, to see if he can play every snap. Because consistency is definitely something that has escaped him to this point.
Matt Barrows with us here on 95.7 The Game. How do you see the Niner defense deploying Richard Sherman tonight? I don't think he's going to be shadowing Odell Beckham, but how often do you see those two marking up on one another?
Well, it's really up to the Giants. The 49ers don't often switch the cornerbacks around. It's usually Sherman who's on that left side exclusively. So it'll be every time that Beckham goes over there, he'll be benched against Sherman. It'll be interesting. Sherman has not been targeted very much, as we all know. But I think we all also see that he's not quite back to the guy that he was pre-injury. So it'll be interesting to see whether the Giants test him, especially deep, against Richard Sherman. And then on the other side, Akella Witherspoon has, we all remember the rough early part of the season, but he's strung together, I guess it's three or four really good games since then. And, you know, I think he's champing at the bit, you know, for some opportunities against Beckham as well.
Hopefully the defensive line can make it easier on the secondary by getting to Eli Manning. How interested will you be to watch Cassius Marsh and Ronald Blair versus Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead as far as productivity, not only tonight, but throughout the rest of the season?
Yeah, that should be the area where the 49ers have an advantage. The Giants haven't done a very good job of protecting Eli Manning. He's not very elusive. Their right tackle, a guy named Chad Wheeler, has really struggled this year. So that's the guy that Cassius Marsh is going to be going up against for most of the evening tonight. And he should win that battle. I don't know if it's going to be quite the 2.5 sacks that he had against the Raiders, but that should be an area where the 49ers can, you know, have really two good back-to-back games. And that's an area that they've struggled in to this point. But that game, 8 sacks against the Raiders the other night, that's exactly one-third of their total. And all of a sudden, they're tied for 7th in sacks by the defense this season. That's not something that you would have expected, I think, early on this year. So that's the one area to me where I think that the 49ers defense can be big difference makers in this game.
Matt Burrell's joining Jolo and Dibs. Matt,
wow.
Question for you is, mine's more on the sense of, what do you do to contain a guy that I believe that he's not a chain mover but a game changer, Saquon Barkley? What does the Niners need to do to contain this guy?
You got to gang tackle him. I mean, he is so elusive. The point that the 49ers defenders made to me over and over again is that, you see all the highlights, you watch the clips and the amazing things that he does, but even that doesn't get across just how dynamic Barkley is. He's a huge guy. He's 233 pounds, which to me is amazing, because you look at him on film, you think, okay, maybe he's 212, maybe a mid-sized guy at best, but he's very big, and he's got the moves of a Barry Sanders, of a Walter Payton, almost. And he's a leaper. You just type in Saquon Barkley and hurdles, and you get like 30 different clips of him leaping over would-be tacklers, including some big guys. The 49ers safety, Tyvis Powell, had that happen to him in college because he played at Ohio State. Powell is 6'3", and Barkley leapt over him in that game, and he's done it to a lot of different guys. So he's a guy that you've got to get the right angles on, and you have to gang tackle him. And that'll be a nice challenge for a defense that really struggled in tackling early on the season.
Matt, any concern over the air quality at Levi Stadium tonight? Any precautions or anything different taking place?
No, there's concern for sure, because the air quality isn't going to be bad. But at this point, the hay is in the barn. I mean, this game's going to happen. They're going to be playing in probably some poor air quality. It won't be as bad, I don't think, as the 49ers practiced in. The threshold is an air quality index of 200, which is really bad. At that point, they would move the game, relocate. But it looks like it's going to be much lower than that. Right now, it's in the 120s down here. So it shouldn't get much higher than that before kickoff.
Matt Breida expected to come back and be as healthy as he's been in over a month. How explosive can he be, considering we're getting later in the season and he has been beset by some ankle issues?
Yeah, and he doesn't really have the backups that he had earlier. No Raheem Mostert anymore. They're probably going to bump up one of their practice squad running backs for this game. But, Breida, he should be as good as he's been in recent weeks. He gets a little bit better from that ankle injury that's been bothering him recently for every game. It's a big question moving forward. I mean, if you lose Matt Breida, then all of a sudden you no longer have an explosive running back on that roster. Alfred Morris is the guy that you're going to have to go with for the rest of the season as your main back. So his health, I think, is critical. Sure. If Kyle Shanahan wants to run the offense that he likes to run, you have to have a healthy Breida. He's, I don't want to put a percentage on it, he's not quite full health, but he's better than he's been in recent weeks.
Matt, if you had to lay out some concerns for the night's game concerning the San Francisco 49ers, how the Giants will exploit them or could possibly exploit, what would be your main concern?
Well, we've hit two of them, Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley. They also have a really good tight end and Eric Ebron. who's explosive, even faster than George Kittle. So he's a guy, when you couple that with the fact that Reuben Foster's not playing, Jaquaski Tartt's not playing, that's sort of a sneaky weapon for Eli Manning. And, the Giants have the offensive weapons. The reason why they haven't been a good offense this year is that they haven't been able to protect Eli Manning. So that pressure is critical, I think, because if you do give Eli Manning time, he's a two-time Super Bowl MVP who's got a lot of potent offensive weapons. So if he does have time to throw, he's got the targets to throw it to. So that could be problematic for this team if they can't harass him like they did Derek Carr a week and a half ago.
He covers the 49ers for The Athletic. Matt Barrows with us here on 95.7 The Game. Great stuff as always, Matt. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up soon.
All right, talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
One of the best in the business, no doubt. As we pivot, John Gruden's press conference is brought to you by Three Dimensional Services Group. Three Dimensional Services, prototype, production, proven. Here's the head coach of the Oakland Raiders, John Gruden.
Really proud of our team's effort. It's hard to lose. It takes a toll on all of us. Apologize to the Raider fans and just assure you that we'll keep working and I'll answer any questions that I can.
The last fourth down play.
Hey, we tried for a big play. It was a play designed for man-to-man. We were trying to generate a pick for our halfback, and credit San Diego, they made a great play. We were looking for a big play in that situation, and the Chargers smelled it out. So I take credit for that play call there.
Would you prefer your quarterback to throw it somewhere on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to see what happened. Obviously, the play was designed for Jalen Richard. I don't know from where I was standing exactly how much pressure there was, but it looked like Ingram was beaten down on him. That was one play in the football game, among others, that cost us today.
You guys did pretty good control early with the ball and Ingram still back.
Yeah, you know, I really felt good about our plan. We took the opening kickoff down to the one-yard line. Again, that's another play call that didn't work out that I got to own up to. We had another great possession that I think we mishandled a ball on third down. I think we had another great drive that ended in a turnover. We fumbled the ball right outside the red zone. And look, when you're playing the Chargers, one of the best teams in the AFC, you can't do those things. And they doubled us up again. We've been doubled up too many times where the opponent scores on the last possession of the first half and the opening possession of the second half. And it's a lot for us to overcome right now when we become one-dimensional. Yeah, great. You know, I've always said that, you know, I really believe in that kid. You know, the fake punt, you see, he might be one of our fastest players. He's a tremendous athlete. I thought he, you know, took his medicine for a while, like a lot of us. But he's going to be a really good punter, I believe, for us. Well, we have a lot of injuries. You know, Jordy Nelson got hurt today, hurt his knee, missed, I think, four series. And then Martavis Bryant hurt his knee. We're really concerned about him. And, you know, LaFell has come in here and really given us a lift. So we're going to lean on him, obviously, in the last 7 weeks. Yeah, it felt pretty good. I think we had a lot of rookies play and play well. You know, I thought Kabinda had extended action, made some plays. I thought Nick Nelson made some plays. I thought we got some pass rush at times. So we did make improvement. But we got a lot of improvement to make, and it starts with me.
John,
we're just going to keep working hard, and we're just going to keep practicing hard, preparing as hard as we can, keep developing the players that are here, and hopefully it translates into wins. But we got a lot to play for. We got 7 weeks to spend with these players. Some of these guys are getting better and better, and the future, I think, is something we'll talk about later. But right now, it's hard to lose. But we are seeing some progress in our young players, and some of these veteran guys are giving us everything they have, and I'm proud of them.
Thank you.
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. Running and catching, you know, he's doing a lot of good things. It's just when we get behind by two scores or, you know, we get out of normal down and distances, normal situations, we become one-dimensional and we take him out of the game. It's hard to continue to run the ball when you're behind two scores, but he's done a lot of good things.
In the big picture, do you think some of the effort that you've seen from veterans helped establish the foundation that you're looking for in the big picture?
Yeah, I do. You know, this will be a year that a lot of us will never forget, and it's painful. It's really hard. It's painful. And, you know, it's going to be hard to sleep again, hard to get up in the morning, but we're going to keep working hard, and this will be the foundation that this program leans on, mental toughness, physical toughness, doing everything you can in the eye of adversity. And I know it sounds corny to some people, but that's the grit and the toughness that this organization was built on, and that's what we're going to continue to strive for. Yeah. No, I was one of the few good calls maybe that I did make today. You know, the look was there. Bisaccia made that call. Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach, always has something in the bag to use, and I thought that was the best time to use it right off the get-go.
Was it called from the sideline, or is it something that?
Yeah, you call it from the sideline, and obviously the personal protector and the punter look at the defense, look at the punt return team, and if the look is there, we run the fake. If it's not there, we punt the football. So it's a good execution by those guys, certainly. Yeah, it's really concerning to me right now. It looks like a knee. And it's just hard. You know, you're losing your ex. You're losing Jordy Nelson, and then you lose your ex receiver. And it's tough right now. But it doesn't look good. I'm really concerned about Bryant.
John, you mentioned the first possession where Michael didn't stop. I know it's easy in hindsight to question plays. What was the
Well, it wasn't really a reverse. It was a speed play that a lot of people have had success with against the Chargers. You know, I think, you know, that play certainly should be second-guessed because it didn't work. But that wasn't the plan. That wasn't the plan.
That was set?
Yes, sir.
A lot of people were walking about with masks.
No, you know, I think more than that, I think a lot of us have friends, you know, a lot of us have relatives and family and loved ones that are going through a lot right now. And I think more importantly, you know, let's just hope the fires end and hopefully that, you know, we keep things in perspective. That's it's been a tough week here in California. Yes, sir.
John, now that we've seen the Chargers playing, how good are they?
They're good, man. They're good. They're good. They are a good football team. They are well put together. Bosa comes back. Henry comes back. They have two of their best players in the locker room right now. I'm impressed with them. They're very good on all three levels on defense. You know, I saw Seattle score a couple touchdowns, but I thought Russell Wilson was a magician the way he got out of trouble and made those plays. Offensively, as long as you got Phillip Rivers and a balanced offensive scheme with these receivers, they're going to be a handful. They are going to be a handful.
John Gruden's press conference was brought to you by Three Dimensional Services Group. Three Dimensional Services, prototype, production, proven. Dibs, I had a question for you. Lo and I were doing a random Rushmore during that press conference. I thought about this over the weekend for some bizarre reason. Is Mount Rushmore on the Mount Rushmore of national parks?
Oh, wow. Super question. I would say no, it's not. Just at my first blush thinking about it, you got to go with the Grand Canyon. It's the Grand Canyon, for crying out loud.
Of course.
I think you look at
Yosemite.
Yeah, Yosemite and Yellowstone were up there. I was also thinking about the most popular tourist attraction in the country, which is also a national park, Alcatraz itself. It's the most visited place as far as tourist attractions in the country. So that would have to be a candidate. But my first blush, no, Mount Rushmore is not on the Mount Rushmore of national parks.
Feels odd to say that, though, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. But then again, when you boil it down to just four, we just named three off the top of our head that you'd absolutely put on there before Mount Rushmore. Let me ask you this. I haven't been to Mount Rushmore, but when you go there...
Seems a bit odd as well.
What do you do when you go to Mount Rushmore? Do you take a tour? Do you walk around among the heads? No, you go there, you park your car, you take a couple pictures, and you get back in the car and you leave. So it can't be that special.
There's something to be said about the efficiency of it. You're in and out.
True. And I will add this. It's not ever even finished. It's incomplete. They were supposed to do full bodies, but I guess the guy either got disgruntled or ran out of money or both. It's a fact.
Disgruntled.
So, yeah. Creative differences.
What's behind it?
It's rocks.
No, I mean like, is it just more mountain behind it?
Yeah.
Like the second National Treasure movie with Nicolas Cage, there's a whole bunch of water. There's like waterfalls and rivers and all this stuff. Is that behind it?
Well, I'm looking up what you can do there. If you have 1 to 2 hours, you could visit the visitor center. There's also a trail, presidential
trail. Oh, there's a visitor center. Thank God.
Trails and mountains. Trails and mountains. Mm-hmm. Joe, if you...
Have you been there?
No. But
so why are you telling me what's behind it?
Because I've just seen it. I've seen the park from TV and different things that I've looked... But no question.
From what, above?
Yosemite is the best in the world. I mean, it's Yellowstone and Yosemite National Park, the valley, the bed. It's unfriggin' believable.
Have you been to Yellowstone?
Yes. If you have a chance, please go.
You have. You said that very quickly. It makes me feel as if you're lying to me.
Yeah,
you've been to Yellowstone?
Oh.
2 times. You know, because
you've been to Yellowstone twice.
Every time it's 2 times.
I'm convinced that when people lie, they say 3. Like, I got 3 calls.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it's 3. You're convinced the lie is
2. The lie is 2. Yeah.
Chilton Auto Buddy text line 95795. If you're lying, are you more likely to say 3 or 2?
I've been to it, 20 times. I don't know.
Yosemite. What about Yellowstone?
They're still in the same, origin.
What are you talking about?
Yellowstone and Yosemite?
Wyoming and Montana.
Yeah, I'm talking about, Yellowstone, it's a pass. It's a hard pass.
It's a pass.
So in a minute, you went from having been there twice to having not ever been there.
No, I was talking about Yosemite, Joe. I was talking about the valley. That's what I was trying to say.
Yosemite, yeah.
I'm aware that a guy from Fresno has probably been to Yosemite.
I'm really sorry that got away from me. Let me reel this thing back
in. Don't apologize. I look forward to your next take on the National Park System.
I really, really want you to go to Yosemite. It is so breathtaking.
Am I anti-Yosemite?
No.
Have I come across as anti-Yosemite?
You've always been down on Yosemite.
That I need to be convinced to go to Yosemite?
No. I just
yes, I'd love to go.
Please go. It will change your life.
I don't know about that.
No. I'm telling you. I know the kind of person you are. You would stop and you're going to like, oh my God, look at this creation.
My life is going to be altered. The path my life is currently on is going to be altered because of a trip to Yosemite.
Yes, because it's going to make you take time and slow you down. It's going to alter you who you are. Yes.
Wouldn't change you a bit, Coach.
Coming from the guy who's been to Yellowstone twice and then, haven't been to Yellowstone.
I'm sorry, I meant to say Yosemite.
It wouldn't. You'll like it. You'll be like, this. No, it won't change who he is. He comes back and he launches right back into the same patterns. Doing the same thing.
I'm going to be running marathons.
You think he's going to come back and be in the same patterns? You don't think he'd be changed as far as just the peaceful and the serene? He's into that stuff? I think you would be just.
He has the ability to get into that when he's there, but he comes back here in society and he's just back grinding. He's back on the grind.
What am I going to do? I'm going to come back. I'm suddenly going to be physically fit and just reading the good book like you every day?
No. I'm sorry, Joe, if I came across that way. I wasn't what I was trying to say. I just think that it would be a great experience.
It will change your life. Really?
Joe,
I'm sorry. Turns out we're all out of time.
Oh, thank God.
Turns out, to recap, Lowe versus Dibs, congratulations to Lowe, 9-4 versus Dibs is 7-6. Do you both have the Niners tonight?
Yes, we do.
All right, so Lowe picks up 2 games. Slowly but surely, Lowe trying to get back in this thing. On behalf of Yosemite and Yellowstone, he's trying to get back in this thing. That's a wrap for us. Steiny and the Guru are next. Cam Inman will join them at 11. For Dibs, Anna, and Lowe, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everyone. We greatly appreciate it. We will see you tomorrow morning.
Yellowstone.
Right here at 6 a.m. on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.